Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who hates shaking hands, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. I don't remember saying I don't like shaking hands. I mean, I prefer a fist bump, but I'll shake a hand, make a friend, get on board the friendship train. Hey, welcome to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, broadcasting live from the City Deck, WGBW Studios here in Green Bay. Another beautiful night. Loving this El Nino. We're in the 30s, I think, right now, which isn't too bad for mid-September. That's terrible for mid-September, actually. Mid-December, and nice temperatures all around the state. Wherever you're joining me from, thank you. I have a great show tonight. I've got joining me in just a couple minutes the co-host of Mino and the Mayor, the Green Bay and the WGBW and WISS morning show, and former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt, will join me in studio. Jim made the trip down. I know he's got a long commute, but it's going to be great to talk to Jim about radio and his time as mayor. That will be fun. Steve Burrows is going to join me. Steve is a director, a Wisconsin native, a writer, director, performer. Steve made a film called Bleed Out that you can watch right now on HBO. It is an award-winning film, and I'm going to save most of the information for the interview with Steve. He's going to join me. He's hilarious and an incredibly accomplished guy and one of my showbiz idols, to be honest with you, and I'll tell you why during the interview. I'm going to talk to Allison Fleck. She's going to promote the Griffin String Quartet. They'll be performing all around Northeast Wisconsin over the next week. And then in the second hour, Jimmy Koska, he's the new sports director at Civic Media and a big sports fan. We're going to have a talk with Jimmy a little while. Some great birthdays today. Some of my favorite celebrities have birthdays today. In no particular order, Taylor Swift turns 34. Big day for Taylor. Dick Van Dyke turns 98. Jamie Foxx turns 56. And Steve Buscemi, one of my favorite character actors of all time and just actors, turns 66. Steve was in The Big Lebowski, Living in Oblivion, a great film about making independent movies. Reservoir Dogs, the guy's got an incredible resume. We'll hear maybe a clip from some of their work a little later in the show. Tonight's question, of those celebrities I just mentioned, Taylor Swift, Dick Van Dyke, Jamie Foxx, and Steve Buscemi, of tonight's celebrities, who would you most like to wish a happy birthday to in person? You can text us your answer. We had great texts last night. I'd love to hear from you. 920-264-0606. And you can call that number too. We'll take your call. We'll take your text. You got Morse code. Shoot it over. We'll read it on the air. It'll be great. I had Richard Reilly here last night, who was a phenomenal guest and a great actor with over 438 credits. If you want to listen to that interview, it's on the Civic Media app from last night. He told the story about how he got a part in Casino and how Joe Pesci brought him into the fold because another actor left. And Richard's story, we were kind of running out of time, but he did get through it. And I kind of had to end it abruptly, unfortunately, because it's such a great story and he's a great guy. It was great having him on. And, right now, let's get right to the guests. I got a lot of, I've got another celebrity joining me here in the studio.
Right.
He's a local celebrity, but a celebrity nonetheless, the co-host of Mino and the Mayor here on WGBW every morning, one half of the team, and former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Pete. This is, love you. I listen to your show. I do. I mean, I get up early to do my show from 6 to 8 a.m., but have another job at a community shelter, but then take a little bit of a nap, and then I tune you in at 8. I usually fade out before your show's over. But
your show's the perfect thing to put someone to sleep.
Yeah, no, right? I didn't mean it like that. I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to come out like that. But I was like, you and Khan do a good job here, so it's fun to listen.
Well,
to
I've been on your show in the morning. I can't even keep up with you guys at that hour. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That's my co-host. he's wired pretty tight.
But Jim, I've only met you. Or not only, but I mean, I've met you because we both work for Civic Media, right, and I've been on your show, and we've had some small talk, but I want to take a deep dive into who Jim Schmidt really is. Can you give me a little background? Are you a lifelong Green Bay resident?
Pretty much, yes. I love Green Bay. I mean, there's just anyone who knows of me or has read about me that this I'm very passionate. I even have a new show that's going to be launched with Civic yeah. Media called Lean Local, and it's just all about local politics. And didn't someone once say that all politics is local?
For sure.
And we interview guests, and so you know, I grew up in Two Rivers, went to school at Roncalli. Lived out west for a little while, lived in the Chicago area for a little while, but this is my home and I raised my kids here and I love it. But before we get on, I just want to wish Taylor Swift a happy birthday. Anybody who's the person of the year, Times person of the year, which I was Green Bay Press Gazette.
I have that down here as a question.
Oh, see, okay,
I want you to elaborate on that, but first your serenade to Taylor.
No, I remember my kids went to see her in Nashville.
She's great.
She is. I think
hard
she
not
is
to in, like her.
And I think she does some nice things that yeah. don't always get the press. She gives money to the homeless shelters. She gives money to the food pantries. And, you know, people say, oh, she's got a lot of money. There's a lot of people with a lot of money that don't give money away. So
right.
I don't know. And I heard she was great when she was in Green Bay. You know, yeah. look, you got to protect those people a little bit. But, I mean, saying hi and not, you know, some of these people are just in a bubble and a blanket over them. It's like, come on. I mean, I thought, I never met her. Don't listen to her music, but from what I read about her, and I think she's pretty awesome. So yeah, happy birthday, 34.
I think you should go to Twitter with her other 300 million followers. Yeah,
I know.
This is more special though, I think.
I'm here with Pete Schwab, that's all I care about.
Hey, that was cool. When she was here, I loved seeing Tony Shalhoub there.
Right.
He's like one of my favorite actors, and Simone Biles too. And it was like a star. It was like a Laker game.
Yeah. But you know, Shalhoub, he's here quite a bit really. Yeah. And, you know, Simone lives here. Right.
So, yeah. yeah. So that's,
well, they count. I just, yeah. it, Taylor Swift was,
can you name a Taylor Swift song?
No.
Yeah. See, the only reason I can is because we might, for our little birthday gift to Taylor later would be to play a couple minutes of one of her songs. Not even the whole song, but Shake It Off. I know that one because I've heard it.
I don't. I just, oh, yeah, I just,
you got to hear it.
Okay. I'll listen.
Run
I'll listen.
To don't, the record don't, store.
But no, just don't play it at 5 to 10 because I may miss it. But if you play it before 9:15, 9:30, I'm all in.
So you mentioned you won a Person of the Year award here in Green
that.
Bay.
You don't win that.
You don't win that.
No,
what do you do?
It just, I don't know, committee
do?
Together and they just call you and they say, hey, look, we need to come over and see you. And they come in and I was really surprised. I mean, I was shocked. And they said, look. You
did
know,
you think you didn't deserve it?
Never been a politician that got that award for one.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And, you know, politicians you. Were controversial, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just was really, really surprised. I'm like, what? Me? And then they said, yeah, we're going to go take a picture. And then I didn't say why because it wasn't like, why, but you know, they just talked about some things we did, and I'm like, yeah, that's true. But you know, I mean, it's not just me, but that was a big deal for I felt really good about it. And you know, there's yeah. a lot of things that maybe don't go the way you want to, but there's certain things you get that they can't take away, and that's one of them. So I've never, like, I wasn't a big sports guy. The reason I like your show is I do like entertainment, theater, music. You know, I mean, I think I can see why people maybe hang on to something, and that's the way I felt about that.
I think it's pretty cool. And yeah. Does it have anything to do with, and elaborate on this, I know most people that know you, because a lot of people know you in Green Bay, know you were the longest serving mayor. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Did you?
Certain days.
Yeah, I'm sure it comes. Hey, I have a question for you. So other mayors, when you've been mayor that long and you know the headaches that come with the job, do you have sympathy for other mayors or soft spot, regardless of party, just because you know what they're going through?
Oh, yeah, totally. Those guys yeah. are my friends. Like the mayor of Oklahoma City, the mayor of Burnsville, Minnesota, just Santa Ana. They're just good friends that we see.
Wow,
we get
cool.
together. We talk Christmas cards. They all come in for a game, or if I'm out there, I'll call them. But, yeah, it's a great, great, rewarding job, but it's tough.
Yeah,
but it's tough.
Sure.
It's tough, people.
How did you last 16 years?
I just didn't look at anything else. And sometimes I look back at that and I'm like, is that the smartest thing? But people would call and say, hey, look, you know, would you be interested in, you know, working in the private sector. I mean, there's a little bit more money in the private sector. And yeah. I didn't really need the money, I'll admit it. I was fortunate. Before I was mayor, I had my own business, and that worked out pretty well for us. But I just like, no, I didn't even say, look, let's talk about it. Let's interview. I'm like, no, this is all I want to do. And, you know, higher politics, I mean, I don't know that I had the skill set to do some of the things that I was offered, but I just did it. I never took it to the second level, Pete. I just was like, this is what I'm going to do. This is why, you know, if I don't have to get religious on you, but this is why I think God put me here, and this is what I want to do. I'll lead this city. And it was, you know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very, very much. And I think there's a lot of mayors who've been mayors a long time, you know, Richie Daley and Cornette and these guys. They love their job, man. They yeah. do. And they could go, those guys could go anywhere.
They don't want to give it up.
No. Yeah. It's not like you're, you're never done. I mean, there's always something to do in a city. There's, you know, yeah. right now, right? We just, there's some issues, homeless, but there's also some great opportunities with some development, some new corridors. So anyway, I enjoyed it very much. And it was fun. And I don't know, sometimes I think I should have ran for a fifth term, but you know, I mean, you get tired with it too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and my wife had kind of had it, so.
The First Lady of Green Bay. She had something to say about it too, I'm sure, yeah.
Well, I tell people, they say, well, what does it take to get elected? I said, the first vote you have to get is your spouse's, and I did not have it.
Well, your wife is a saint because she was in here last week and you told me the gift you got her once was a... talked about it. And she was okay with it. That's why I love her. I'm talking with Jim Schmidt. He's the co-host of Mino and the Mayor in the Morning here on WGBW. And WISS, can you stick around?
Sure,
while we
Pete.
Do some business?
I mean, no, yeah, I'm not going to bed yet.
You might as well just stay here and do your show tomorrow
right,
morning, right?
Right.
Hey, we got a text here from Jim in Appleton who says, Dick Van Dyke is the one I would love to wish a happy birthday in person. His body of work is so far beyond the pale, I am hard-pressed to find anyone to compare. Broadway, movies, television, music, he covered it all. He sure did. And,
He also has 60 some years on Taylor Swift. You know what
True.
I mean? But that guy's incredible. And you know, he's never had any real drama or.
No.
Did you ever
right.
read anything about like.
Never.
All these people, it's this or that. And that guy just, I don't know if he was squeaky clean or had
Maybe
a great press
Maybe a little
agent.
Bit of booze at some yeah. point, but I'm drunk right now. So who am I to judge?
We all are.
All right. We're going to be right back with more Jim Schmidt. We'll be back so fast you won't even believe it. I'm Pete Schwabba. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Some Dick Van Dyke for you. I have a friend, Steve Segrin, who's a stand-up comedian, and he used to do this joke about the song Afternoon Delight, and he used to say, did you guys know that song was about sex? Afternoon Delight? He goes, I didn't know that. To me, an Afternoon Delight was a beef sandwich in the Dick Van Dyke Show. So I'm here with Jim Schmidt. He's the former mayor of Green Bay, the longest tenured mayor of Green Bay, and the co-host of the Mino and the Mayor Morning Show. Tell us a little bit about your show, Jim. It's so much fun.
That is a fun show. I was at home. This is in it wasn't that long ago because we went on in June, so April. And I got a call from Civic Media, and they're like, "Hey, you know, what are you doing? You're the mayor." And I'm like, "Well, I used to be. Yeah, we know. We're looking for a host to do a radio program in the morning, just to talk about local stuff. And you know, a couple of questions. What do you think about homelessness? What do you think about that?" And told them and So I said, well, look, let me think about some people I know that could do that. I had no, you know, people call the mayor, not for them, for connections, because we have a ton of connections.
Right.
Let me think about somebody. They said, no, we kind of want to talk to you. I'm like, really? And because my wife came into the living room, she goes, who are you talking to? This is like a 20-minute call. And so they said, come down to Madison. So I went down to Madison and talked to, you know, Sage and a few other people down there. Came back, and my wife's like, I don't know. That's a tall order. You know, the thing about radio, 2 hours is a long time. Well, right?
Yeah.
To be alone.
Can be, sure.
Or can be. And so then I called John Mino. He's been sports, radio, media guy, 40 years. And Johnny and I knew each other a little bit. I would have fundraisers when I was running for mayor, and I'd have these, it was called Pigskins in Politics. So I'd bring in, you know, Donald Driver, Mason Crosby, just some of these. And then I would have John MC it, ask him the questions, because I didn't even know what positions these guys played. And John, so I called him when he was at home, of course, drinking. And I said, Johnny, watching basketball. I called him, what was weird, Pete, that was his birthday I called him. I called him on his birthday, which he thought I was calling to wish him a happy birthday. I'm like, I didn't know it was your birthday. I said, hey, Johnny, I got this opportunity to do a morning radio show with Civic Media and in Green Bay. And I said, you want to do that? He goes, yeah. So we went down to Madison and, you know, talked to him. And so here we are. And it's been a blast. I mean, we're guest driven. We don't spin any records. It's a live show. And we have two or three guests every day. And, you know, from the president of the chamber to people working on homeless to Salvation Army to Packers, legend Packers. What do they call those guys?
The former Packers.
Yeah. And they've been on, and it's been great. And everybody we've called and said, you want to come on the show, has said yes. So it's been pretty picking. It is. It's great. And he's a great host. I mean, he is. I tell people it's nice to wake up and know in an hour you're going to be laughing.
Yeah,
he is a funny guy.
Well, you guys are both Green Bay legends in a way. You as mayor and John. Yeah. I mean, I remember him. I went to Marinette Catholic Central High School. I remember hearing John on the radio or TV or whatever.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
It is.
I want to add, you mentioned the Packers. Is it, just to go back to your mayor days for a second, was it harder to be mayor with an entity like the Green Bay Packers in a town this size, or was it easier?
It was easier. And really? Let me tell you why. Okay. They open a lot of doors. Yeah. Like, the U.S. Conference of Mayors is an organization made up of 450 mayors in the United States. And I got elected to chair a committee, and then I got elected to be on the board. And I don't know if they like Jim Schmidt as much as they like the Green Bay Packers. I just think, here's a guy from Green Bay. You know, let's put him. I think it worked. It opens a lot of doors, Pete, a lot.
Yeah.
And we had a very, very good relationship with the Packers, too. I want to say that. I wouldn't want to be. You know, you look at Mayor Slay down in St. Louis, not a good relationship with the Rams, right?
Oh,
I mean, they ended up moving out.
Right.
The guy didn't call them
yeah.
back. I mean, we'd call the Packers. Man. They'd call back right away. We would meet with them. We were invited to many, many things. They were just a good community partner, and I think it made my job much easier. And when they won, it made it even easier.
Yeah, I'm sure. You could take all the credit. Like, was it difficult knowing there's such a worldwide brand? In a town this size, did you ever feel like they're trying to push you around, or is it not that vibe? Did you ever have to check them? Or
I want to tell you that was a door opener to get people here, to get Whole Foods to come up to Green Bay, to get anybody here. We would kind of lead with the Packers. Now, when they get here, I'm like, hey, look, we're a lot more than football. And we are, right? We got great institutions, St. Norbert, UWGB, NWTC, fastest growing technical college in the United States at a time. And, you know, your money goes, we've got all these awards. I mean, we're named the best city.
Best city to live in.
Not when I was mayor, but, and we're always in the top, you know, 10, 20. But no, the Packers were a great partner. And I think it has a lot to do with who's running the Packers too. Now, Mark Murphy was there pretty much my whole time. Bob Harlan before that, but both just
around the ball.
Gentlemen. Yeah. Oh, they were great. Come on. You know, when they hired, Coach McCarthy, he called and, let's go to lunch. And I think the Packers said, look, just go meet with the mayor. You know, just get to know him. And Coach McCarthy was one of my favorite people in Green Bay. They were a great partner, as are the Oneidas. And I want to give a little, if you really want to do something big, like the City Deck, you know, which was a big deal, the expansion of the convention center, you really don't want those two guys against you. They don't have to be for you. So I would go and sit down with the tribal chair, and I'd sit down with the Packers and say, look, this is what we're thinking of doing. And many times they're like, this is awesome. We'll give you X. Sometimes they're like, okay, that's fine. But, you know, you like to think everyone's equal, but there's just some people that are a little bit more equal. And I would stop in and see those two, because I thought they were very important. And a lot of businesses too, the chamber. But no, I never felt like they were running the city and I was just there to watch. No.
Yeah. And I guess I didn't mean that, just that they would say, we want to do this. And they would just expect your support. Whereas if it was to affect other people or something, you know, but
yeah, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that never, there were some things that they wanted. And we'd be like, well, we'd have to change the ordinance for that, you know, sign it. But they would never demand anything. No, I want to look.
And ultimately, it was good for the city.
It was. Those guys had the cities. Look, they know. I mean, we're very blessed as a small city to have the Green Bay Packers. But I think the Packers enjoy working with a community-owned organization that supports them. So, no, I want to kudos to those guys. No, yeah. I miss them. I miss working with them. That was a highlight I had.
So we have about a minute.
Okay.
In less than a minute, tell us about all the work you do with the homeless, Jim, and how can people help if they want to?
Yeah, it's just something that doesn't get the attention. And as mayor, I worked with the homeless, but I had a lot of other things going on. Now I pretty much, you know, civic media and working with the homeless, and I teach as well. But it's real. These are real people. They're not bums. They're not, you know, these people want to get the life back they had. There's the new community shelter here in Green Bay is a facility that, you know, it's well managed. I mean, people who come there are, they live there, they have chores, they have goals, they meet with caseworkers, they're with their alcohol and drug counselor, but they will be out of homelessness. And I wish, you know, again, we start talking about the Packers and the NFL draft. I think that sometimes overshadows some of the real problems we have. And homelessness.
All the good stuff.
It's nice to talk about the good stuff. Sure. You just feel better. But the reality is, you know, we need help. The new community shelter needs volunteers. They need money. And I work there, and I love it. And I sometimes wish I would have done that earlier. It's a great, great facility. And thank you for bringing that up. That's just near and dear to my heart. And we have a lot going on there. And excuse me. We're just going to keep at it.
Awesome. Jim, come back again soon. This
Pete,
was fun.
You're the best.
Yeah,
all
you
right.
too, buddy. It was great having you on here. Former mayor and co-host of Mine and Win the Mayor, Jim Schmidt. Thanks so much. So the question today is, of the celebrity birthdays, who would you most want to wish happy birthday to in person? Taylor Swift, Dick Van Dyke, Jamie Foxx, and Steve Buscemi. Those are your candidates. When I come back, Steve Burrows is going to join me. He is a Wisconsin native and an award-winning director, and he's just a great guy. So I hope you stick around. We'll be right back with more Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. That was fun. Jim Schmidt's I always enjoy talking to Jim. Good guy. And a good show. Tune into the morning show here with Mino and the Mayor on WGBW or WISS. Our question tonight, there are four celebrity birthdays, and they're all A-listers. Taylor Swift, maybe you've heard of her, Dick Van Dyke, Jamie Foxx, and Steve Buscemi. So our question tonight is, of tonight's celebrity birthdays, who would you like to wish a happy birthday to in person the most? And one text I got, I love when people just text my phone. Taylor Swift, I have a crush on her. Okay. That might creep her out a little bit, but good. That's a good one. And Todd Michaels texted in, Jim Schmidt, 3 exclamation points. I think we know how Todd feels about Jim. That's 3. The triumvirate of exclamation points. So this is really fun for me. I have a guest right now who I'm just so thrilled. I wanted to talk to this guy on the air in some capacity for years now because I really have so much respect for him, and I think he's a great guy. And he's a native Wisconsinite, not that that has even anything to do with it, but just kind of a cool tidbit. It's my pleasure to welcome Steve Burrows to Nightlight. Hey, Steve.
Hey there, Pete. How you doing, man?
I am great. It is so great to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Congratulations on this show.
Thank you very much. Congratulations on pretty much, I just want to say, I'll stop blowing smoke, but I want to say that you are a commercial director. You directed a film called Chump Change that we'll talk about in a little while, an award-winning comedy, indie film, and now you've directed an award-winning HBO documentary, like different genres all the way around, and you've had success in all of them. And do you ever sit back and think about that and think how cool that is?
You know, I realize how lucky I am in so many ways because, you know, as you know, as a filmmaker yourself, you know how hard it is to make a movie.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get a movie going. It's hard to write a script. It's hard to get it made. It's hard to get it edited. It's hard to get it sold. It's hard to get it marketed, you know, all these things. And it's a real marathon. And I feel very fortunate that I've been able to, kind of climb that feature film mountain twice, both very different projects.
Yeah.
The first was with Miramax. The second one with HBO. But yeah, you got to think long ball. You know, when people ask me like, how do you do it? It's, you know, to me, it's just one step at a time. It starts with the story, the script, and you know, and the bad news is, I guess, as proud as I am of those films, my wife reminded me that I basically crank out a feature film every 14 years. So, I gotta pick it up, Pete.
Listen, I did The Godfather of Green Bay in 2003. And we almost went this year on another one, which is a crime thriller. I'm trying to do the Burroughs thing with a whole different genre, but the strike killed us. So I'm like, I can't even keep a one in every 20 years thing going. So 14, you're way ahead of the curve in my book.
It's tough, but it's such a tough thing, you know?
Yeah.
But it really is worth it. And when it finally comes out, and we've been very lucky. In fact, I can tell you, like with Bleed Out, we've been on HBO almost exactly 5 years. And they've renewed us twice, and they just renewed it earlier this week. They renewed us for one more year, at least, which is we're very grateful for that. Because as you know, distribution so hard to get.
Tough to get people to see your work for sure. Let's jump in and start with Bleed Out. Such a heartbreaking story. Give us a little background for those that haven't seen it and that you want to see it. Tell us a little bit, a brief synopsis of the film.
You know, I was, as you had mentioned, I've been doing comedy for years out in L.A., started here in Wisconsin, then moved to Chicago, and was writing, directing, performing, TV, movies, all that kind of stuff. And then in 2009, my mom, here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, went in for a routine partial hip replacement and came out in a coma with permanent brain damage. And my uncle is a doctor, my aunt's a nurse, and they told me to get the medical records, and my uncle and the aunt, they said, look, these things have been falsified, and you know, you got a major situation on your hand, not only with your mother and caring for her, but this thing is, it's bigger. And all of a sudden it took off. And I didn't know if my mom was going to live, you know, a week or a month, and months turned into, you know, years. And, about halfway through, it ended up being a 10-year, journey. And about halfway through this 10-year journey, we discovered that medical error was the third leading cause of death in America. And a friend of mine, who's an editor, he said, I think you might have a good documentary here. And I'm like, no, but no, there's no way. He said, no, I think you've got a very strong personal story that people are going to relate to, but it also is a universal story. It affects all of us. We're all patients. We're all, you know, we all get sick, all our family members. We were all in and out of the hospital, doctor's office. And I started playing around with the possibility of doing it. I was filming the first 5 years. I was actually filming for our attorneys. I was under, you know, they told me I needed to film my mom's pain and suffering for a jury. So I did that. And at one point, for people who don't know about our story, I actually went undercover.
Yeah, that was great.
And that turned out to be, that's one of the big things that, one of the big reasons it became an HBO film. They were like, they heard everything that I just said, but then I said, And I also went undercover, and HBO goes, what? Really? So yeah. And that, so that's, we came out 5 years ago, almost exactly right now. We've been very fortunate to have that HBO platform. 20 million people have seen our story.
Wow. That's cool.
It was not the plan. You know, I had no idea. You know, at one point I wanted to, you'll appreciate this as a filmmaker. I wanted to do the film fest stuff. And HBO said, we don't really want to do the film fest thing. Let's just premiere it on. And I'm like, well, no, but there's all these film festivals, because I'd made a career about, you know, going around to film festivals with different things. And they said, well, we could either go to the Telluride Film Festival, where 1,000 people will see your movie, or we can have it premiere on HBO and 1 million people will see it on the first night. I go, okay. Let's go that way.
You had me at 1 million. Yeah.
Yeah. The HBO gave me very few notes, but the notes they gave me were very good.
That's so cool. I don't know how you got through this, because you're a comedy guy, and you, just from the movie I'm reading, this 3.5 million people in critical care, and there are cameras in 500 hospitals and 50 healthcare systems. Where is all cameras monitoring patients? And there was a doctor on camera telling a woman who had just had a stroke, he's smiling and he's talking to her. You somehow, right. I'm like, this is so horrible. And I'm laughing because you were able to inject a little comedy at the absurdity. So can you talk a little bit about how difficult that is, and a heart-wrenching story to know when to use comedy?
It was, it's a great question. No one's ever asked me that. It was tricky because, you know, the movie was a documentary. It was not fiction in any way. And, you know, horrible things were actually happening. But as we went through those 10 years, you know, certain things were so crazy and ridiculous and absurd. Like, for instance, this thing called the EICU, the electronic ICU, at this hospital system where my mom was at, they had replaced the bedside intensive care doctors with cameras that aren't on.
Right. And that was the other thing. Yeah. The cameras don't work sometimes.
Exactly. And I said, wait, there's no doctor by my mom in a coma. And you replace that doctor with a camera that's not on. And why is the camera not on? They said, due to patient privacy. And I laughed out loud. I was like, So what I had to do, Pete, was as we went through, and the movie's in chronological order, you know, one year at a time. And I would say, as I was going through the footage, you know, every once in a while, something so absurd and so ridiculous and so, you know, like satirical happened that I would embrace it. Anytime I tried to force comedy, it failed 100% of the time. And none of that is in the movie. I really had to kind of wait for these moments of natural organic stuff. Like, for instance, my mom, she eventually did come out of the coma, and I took her driving. She wanted to, you know,
great,
she couldn't walk and she couldn't move her legs. And but my mom, we get in the car. The whole purpose was for me to show her that she couldn't drive, and she couldn't turn on the car, and she starts laughing, and then she couldn't like move her legs, and she starts laughing. And I realized if she's laughing and I'm laughing, the audience most likely will laugh. And that became a big scene in our movie where it wasn't intentionally funny, but it just came out of the organic, whatever was happening. And those moments were so rare, but when they reared their head, it was like, embrace them. And HBO said, please, whatever you can do to make this movie even remotely funny, please.
Yeah. That was a very sweet scene. It was a great scene. I'm talking to Steve Burrows. He is the director of Bleed Out, which you can see on HBO, a very accomplished director, commercials, films. You've done award-winning Super Bowl commercials too, I think. We'll talk about that in a minute. But one more thing I want to ask you about Bleed Out. Your uncle, I mean, without giving too much away, did somebody get to him? What was the deal there? Have you mended? Are things better now?
No. No, no. And, you know, and this is a spoiler alert, but, you know, I'm so glad you asked the question. We screened this movie, you know, at medical schools, nursing schools, universities, all over the country the last 5 years. And with all the medical and all the financial and all the legal, that is the question that gets asked every time. My uncle was the reason. My uncle solved the crime, basically, in the first 24 hours of this happened back in 2009. And he was the general, really, of this legal fight. And as we got closer to trial 5 or 6 years later, he got cold feet. And I don't know if anyone from that organization got to him, excuse me, but my aunt told me, who is the nurse who's still married to him, she said that he went out golfing with some of his doctor buddies back in Ohio. And he mentioned that he was involved in a medical malpractice case. And, you know, in general, doctors don't sue doctors. That's just the way it is. They don't do it. And he told him what had happened, everything I just told you. And there was massive negligence. And apparently his golf doctor buddy said, you're in a medical malpractice. You're involved in that. And doctors generally aren't involved in as plaintiffs. And the next thing you know, he cut out. He ended up lying under oath like 30 times. And
oh my gosh.
My mom was his sister. You know, he ended up like, you know, I can't really couch it. He betrayed, you know, my mother and our family and the court of law and his profession. And I haven't seen him since the day he got thrown off of our case for perjury.
Jeez.
That's the truth.
Wow.
That is the ugly truth. That's the dark side of the darker side.
I just, it's so heartbreaking, but that scene got to me. And then learning during your film that medical error is the third leading cause of death and almost half the amount of death caused by cancer and heart disease. One in four are harmed by medical error. That was shocking. Another startling fact, 27,000 patients injured or died in Wisconsin. Of 84 lawsuits, 22 were actually filed. Am I getting that right? And like 3-1. People don't win these cases typically. No. They're not frivolous lawsuits.
No, it's like it's Sisyphus climbing Mount Everest. And it doesn't really even matter. There's a myth out there that, you know, there's all these lawsuits that are frivolous. Well, no, they're not in medical malpractice, because especially in the state of Wisconsin, you know, if you're a plaintiff attorney for patients in Wisconsin, you work on contingency, meaning you're going to work for free unless you win. And you're going to work for, in our case, 7 years for free.
Right.
And
that money comes out of lawyers' pockets when they're doing the case with a risk of not winning.
That's right. And even the best cases in the United States, in every state, the best cases, 90% lose because juries do not want to convict doctors. They just don't want to pull the trigger on a doctor.
Wow.
You know, they're not like they're, you know, mafia bosses or cartel drug people. You know, these are the people we go in, you know, when we need help. And that's what we're up against. And the vast majority, I have to say this, Pete, the vast majority of doctors and nurses and hospitals in the United States are absolutely fantastic.
Right.
You know, the question is really, and this is really what our movie's about, is when a mistake is made, what are you going to do?
Right.
And, you know, half the culture of the hospitals in America, when mistakes are made, they come clean, they're accountable, they're transparent, they apologize. The other half, they cover it.
Steve, can you stick with us for like 60 seconds while we just take care of some business here? When we come back, I want to talk some comedy with you, some chump change, and we've got a special clip we're going to play when we come back out of the break. So do you have a favorite celebrity, Taylor Swift, Dick Van Dyke, Steve Buscemi, or Jamie Foxx?
Well, I would go Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, same. Same.
They're all great, but he's a rare talent.
I totally agree. All right, my guest is Steve Burrows. He's going to hang around for 60 seconds. We'll be right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What do you want to say to the American public about your little pizza parlor and your little TV commercial? You got 30 seconds to say it. What do you want to say? Just tell me.
Well, I just want to say... Blah, 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 blah. But it's just... But I just...
Nom, 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 nom. Look, guys, I don't tell you to make pizza, you don't tell me how to sell pizza. Capiche? Didn't I already tell you that people who watch TV are stupid? What are you guys, idiots?
Welcome back to Nightlight. That is a glass nickel pizza commercial. I thought I would play that for you, Steve, just to see if you recognize it. It's probably been so long ago, but that's what got you start in commercial directing, right?
That is correct. We shot those spots in Madison. I think we ended up shooting, I don't know, like 10 different spots. And I think I remember the budget was a total of $500.
Well, that's what I love about the commercials, because I remember, you might not remember this, but someone referred me to Backyard, which is the company you work for. I had just finished my movie and they said, you should try to direct commercials. This other guy did, Steve Burrows, and you just happened to work for that agency. So the guy introduced me to you. I Googled those commercials and I was laughing hysterically. And I was also in awe of what you did for the budget. I mean, that was really incredible. And it's the same thing kind of with an independent film, right? Like Chump Change.
Absolutely. There's Chump Change. I mean, they're all, you know, you can make, as you know, like with Chump Change, I remember when I wrote the script, they said, well, we can make this movie for $50,000 or $500,000 or $5
million. Wow.
And what's going to get it made for real? Like, and we ended up getting this crazy great cast, you know, Fred Willard and Tim Matheson, Jerry Stiller, Ann Mira, Abe Vigoda, Tracy Lords, Abe J. Benza. My producer said, if you write funny parts for people, you're going to get them.
Yeah.
And that was the goal. I tried to write a funny movie with funny parts and nobody shot for more than 2 or 3 days. It was in and out quick. And we decided that, you know, a $5 million budget was not going to work for a movie called Chump Change. So we went for the $500,000 part. And that, I've always been kind of low budget. Even when I've directed commercials that have cost four times as much than Chump Change did.
Gosh.
Like a 30-second commercial for DiGiorno Pizza. It's so, and I have to say, You know, at one time, Pete, they flew me to Rome, Italy, to make a DiGiorno's commercial. The budget was, I think, $2 million for a 30-second commercial. And I felt so guilty that I was in Rome, you know, spending $2 million on close-ups of rising yeast. I made a feature film for one quarter of that. You know, it was just so obscene. I still feel guilty about it. And by the way, in Rome too, in the one of the greatest artistic cities ever, that still haunts me a little bit.
You could have shot that at a Glass Nickel Pizza for yes. $50, if that.
But then the whole agency and all the crew wouldn't have gotten to go to Rome and have a, you know, good time.
That's true. There you go. That's a great point. Hey, I'm talking to Steve Burrows, the writer, director, actor. He's a native Wisconsinite. He made the film Chump Change and Bleed Out. Steve, you were also, I love this about your career. You were on Seinfeld, one of the most popular actors or episodes ever. Yeah. What was that like? It's a scene where they shoot the pilot. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the Groundling Theater. I don't know if you, the Groundling Theater is kind of like Second City for LA. And one night, Jerry Seinfeld and his casting director came down to see a show. And after the show, I was asked by the casting director to stop by the next day to audition for Larry and Jerry, Larry David and Jerry. I'm like, I hadn't done any TV shows yet. Oh, wow. And I went in and I was familiar with the show. I didn't know the show as well as I probably should have. And they gave me the part. It was just my part. And they didn't tell me anything that was going on. I basically had to go in there. It was like a 2 or 3 minute scene. And they said, don't improvise. And I did the scene. And at the very end of the scene, I get fired on the show. In the show,
yeah.
I play someone, a crew member on a show within the show. And I just improvised this last thing. My gut told me to start crying, like comedic crying. And I did it. I just did it. And Larry and Jerry laughed. I was escorted out of the room. I thought, well, that's not going to work. And then they told me, Jerry escorted. Came out and said, you know, show up tonight at 8:00. We're going to shoot in front of a live audience. And it ended up being on the fourth season. It was one of their hour long specials. It was called The Pilot. And it was on, I don't know if you remember this. This is where I got really lucky, just timing. It was on before the last episode of Cheers.
Oh, so, wow. Cool.
Like that's the night that it became this cult hit, and it became Seinfeld. So,
and the new Cheers, kind of, that became the network's. What a great serendipitous.
I just got lucky, and I stayed on point, but I also broke the rules. I improvised a little bit. That's what got me on the show, I think.
So I got to ask you too. I want to go back to Chump Change just for a second. Was it intimidating? I mean, these actors you had: Tim Matheson, Tracy Lords, Jerry Stiller, Ann Mara, Fred Willard. Fred Willard. Did you ever hear the story about Fred Willard after he got arrested at the adult movie theater?
I know some of those stories, but please go ahead.
So he gets arrested. He comes out of the police station after being booked for being at the adult theater, and someone from the press asks him, Fred, do you have a comment? And he goes, yeah, the movie was terrible. I love Fred Willard. And we actually made him an offer that he accepted for my film two years before we had all the money. So it just didn't work out. But he is one of my comedy heroes.
I agree.
Literally 60 seconds left, Steve. Yeah. Can you just tell me how was it intimidating working with that great cast you had?
You know, we were moving so fast. The money came in last minute. We were shooting a mile a minute. We shot, you know, I think we had it in less than 21 days. I didn't have time to feel intimidated. And the one great thing about all these comedy people is that they're open, right? They are the nicest, like Fred Willard, for instance. He brought up Fred. So Fred shows up. He knows all his lines and he's got this little cheat sheet. And he says to me, he goes, do you mind if I throw in some lines at the end? You know, like just things that I've thought of. And I said, please. And I ended up using every single one of his bits. I mean, there's like 20 bits he gave me for free. It was his gift to me. So once he starts doing that kind of stuff, there was no, you know, there was no real intimidation because we were moving so fast, but I was also so grateful that it was just like a party. You know, it was one of those things that just kind of worked.
Well, I hope we get to see it again someday, Steve. I know it'll be out there one of these days, but keep up the great work. It was so great having you here. We got to do this again because I have about 184 questions I didn't get to. So please come back again, and thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Congratulations on the show. Had a ball here. Thank you.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. All right, Steve Burrows. That was great. So, okay, so the question tonight, four celebrity birthdays, folks, Taylor Swift, Dick Van Dyke, Jamie Foxx, Steve Buscemi. Tonight's question, of the celebrity birthdays, who would you like to wish a happy birthday in person to the most? I'll read your text when we come back, and we'll talk String Quartet. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.